festival. not any racing. It's amazing, actually. I didn't realize what they do. I mean, they take the inner rail, the turf rail is down. It hadn't occurred to me that they, when I went here in the 90s, came here for not for racing, for the Jazz Fest, I wouldn't notice that kind of thing. Like I said yesterday, if you can get here for a Jazz Fest, you should do it. I'll look up and see who the headliners are this year. Andy's next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bred stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At The Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At The Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and it's hour three. Andy Serling, of course, Tuesdays in this slot. And Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. I enjoyed your rejoinder to Marty McGee, congratulating him on his retirement, because now he doesn't have to do the show anymore.
I'm trying to figure out if it's worth my quitting to get off your show, but I figure that probably won't work. So I guess it's not, but it's definitely a consideration.
Well, I did have Jay on Friday. Jay came back.
No, that was a bad decision by him.
Because once you open that door, you know, I'll keep knocking on the door.
You will. You will. I'm quite confident.
I'm determined that way. Well, we're knocking on the door of the Triple Crown season, and obviously, Andy, the Wood result, you know, kind of a quizzical winner, but an exciting race.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, there's sometimes there are winners that even after a race are impossible to ride for. That would be one of them. That was just a thoroughly impossible horse to like. It's just improbable, but I guess occasionally these horses take a step forward out of the blue, and that horse never lifted a hoof competitively before. I watched his Tampa Bay Derby before the race. He was atrocious with an easy trip. He ran on Saturday. It's somewhat inexplicable, but, you know, I don't know. It was inexplicable that Rich Frank showed up last year in the Derby. I don't know. Maybe he's turned a corner. He'll do well. Not a horse that I think too many of you will be interested in the Kentucky Derby, but he did change things around. Obviously, camp a slower prep than the other two run Saturday, but it was a buyer fit of 93, which left it 1 point short of Angel of Empire. So, you know, you wonder if we sort of coterie of numbskulls that, you know, dismiss the Wood Memorial because, you know, past, you know, success or lack of success. Only two Triple Crown winners came out of it last year. Two Triple Crown race winners, I should say. All three weren't in there, but maybe if you're striking on eighth, it would have been a key race. I don't know. You know, I thought Hitshow ran okay. I think he was forced to run outside of the best way he wants to run because the post, you know, because of that, they had to ride him into the race. And he's a horse that's likely better suited to sitting more comfortably and making one run. So I don't think that he's impossible out of the Wood. But, you know, obviously there's some faster horses out of there. You just have to sort of decide where you are with that. You know, fortunately for him, Dreamlight ran third, so he won't make the Derby. And, you know, we'll see if they sort of take a step back and try to break his maiden and then, you know, move on towards the second half of the season because he's obviously a talented horse. But at some point, you're always sort of one race ahead of yourself, and those things have a tendency to catch up to you. But he's obviously talented as well, but he benefited from the post more than the others, obviously. I think that Hitshow comes out of that race as a usable horse in the Derby, but, you know, you sort of want to keep an open mind and look at it going forward.
What, in terms of some of the horses that were up the track, I mean, Arctic Arrogance was beaten six lengths. What is he best suited for, you think, going forward? Turn back?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Lindell figured out. He's a good horse. It's probably just better going a little shorter, 7 furlongs to a mile. I mean, there's probably a value in pointing towards the Mike Lee with him against New York Breds. Not that that'll necessarily be an easy race, but he's probably better than the horses in there. The Phillies might be a little deeper. You know, and figure it out from there. But he's a talented horse, and there's no reason he shouldn't be looking at bigger races during the year, which is probably not going this far. The sort of inexplicable thing in the race was, and I know that you liked him, and listen, I like a lot of horses that run badly too, but I don't understand how Slipbone, he was 4-1 in there. I mean, I didn't understand why he'd be 14-1, to be honest, but he took a lot of money, and I know he was definitely put into a tough spot in the first turn. There's no doubt about it, but he didn't do any running thereafter, with a soft trip thereafter. So I'm a little confused as to where all the hubbub is about him. I don't think he's an untalented horse, but sort of have to figure out with him, probably realistically look for a dominance and one with him and try to see where he stands going in and coming out.
Well, and you know, looking at the way the race was run with, you know, even...
And nobody making up any ground?
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe nobody trying to make up ground was really that good. I mean, I don't think that Todd Source Classic Catch ran badly in there. I think he closed for fifth.
Yeah.
It was a fast close, but they were well back. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know? It's hard to say. I didn't find Saturday's track to be a bias surface in any way. you know, you have to keep in mind that two of the top three finishers, maybe even the fourth finisher, were the most logical horses in the race. I don't know. You know, I tried to make a case for Shadow Dragon. Not surprisingly, he just wasn't good enough. I don't know. It's hard to be overly enthusiastic about the runners up, given the distance between third and fourth, you know?
Yeah.
And then going back. But I guess, you know, I think at this point, I understand why people are trying to get the Derby, whether for best or not. But now that that's sort of over, I think a lot of these sort of connections can take a sort of step back and to say, okay, my horse is eligible for $1 a wonder. In the case of Dreamlight, he's eligible for a maiden race. You know, let's regroup. Let's sort of get him at the more appropriate spot. See if he can win in those spots. Which presumably, I mean, it's hard to imagine Dreamlight losing another maiden race. Though anything's possible, but it's hard to sort of see that realistically. And then sort of go from there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking a step back and seeing that these horses are good enough and then looking towards races like the Curlin or Jim Dandy and the Travers. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all, especially if it's in the best interest of your horse.
Yeah.
I mean, suppose they could take Dreamlight and make it point towards the Preakness, but at some point that sort of, in most cases, ends badly. But listen, I understand the desire. Dreamlight's obviously shown himself to be a very talented horse. But, you know, I guess it's up to the connections to decide those things. When Slid Mahoney, you know, he ran well, very well, just half a trice. He had a very good trip when he beat Croupy, and Croupy's another horse.
Yep.
I mean, the Croupy, actually, the two times that he has broken reasonably well have been when Kendrick's ridden him. He didn't break badly in this race. He didn't have any speed, but he didn't break badly. Certainly nowhere like that debacle he had at Fairgrounds.
Right.
Maybe the idea with him is let's not race him at night anymore, but fortunately if you're not running at Churchill, you won't have that problem. I doubt they were thinking to any Charlestown forays or Penn National. But on the other hand, he's still a maiden after about eight or nine races, right?
So, yeah. Seven,
you know,
yep.
Talented maiden, but a maiden nonetheless. But I guess at some point you just sort of figure out if you want to regroup and become realistic with it.
Now, there, you know, I understood why they were trying this, but, I mean, he also has landed in a lot of good, even in the maiden races. I mean, Slip Mahoney beat him, Classic Catch, Instant Coffee, and Disarm. So he's been facing good ones all along.
Right, but he's not good enough to beat them.
So no, he's not.
With him is,
no. Yeah.
You know, even if he finds a maiden race where realistically he wins, that's fine. Though he's often his own worst enemy, then what do you do with him? You're really going to try stakes with him after that and assume that everything's changed? Or are you going to find a non-winner as a one? You know, I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, given time, maybe, I don't know. I'm not a trainer. I'm not, you know, but maybe given a little time and a little bit of a breather, he has a chance. Well, he's not a talented. He is not good enough to be a stakes horse at this point, but he's far from a talented. Certainly runs figures that are more than respectable.
Right.
But are they necessarily good enough to win the races he's running in? No. But listen, I mean, leading up the Derby, people take chances, and I get that.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, now that the dream is no longer alive, you know, the question becomes if you become more realistic. It's hard, you know.
It is.
It's easy to not be the one who's bought the horses and paid the bills and has the dreams to get to these races and, you know, say, well, this is where they should run. It's a lot easier to do that if you're not involved than it is if you're involved. I think a lot of people, if they were involved, would probably see it a little differently. Maybe not, but maybe.
Before we talk about the rest of the Wood card, including, you know, the big win for Ray Handel and the Gazelle, and also Brittany Russell and also Linda. Let's talk about the other two. We've had sort of a Derby theme here the last little while. Talk about the other two preps, the Bluegrass from your perspective and Santa Anita Derby.
Well, I know the Bluegrass was a terrific race by the first two finishers. Tapitrace was considerably more impressive than he was at Tampa. But I thought he went terrific, you know. But I think it's a very fair question to ask how comfortable you would be betting the horse, especially as the second or third choice, as he's likely to be. That needs to be ridden hard the whole way, because he does. It just seems like he does. And is that a running style that you're comfortable betting in a mile and a quarter race like the Derby? I'm not, especially at a shortish price. I am not dismissing his talent because he's very good, but he does seem to be a bit of a problematic horse in that regard. So while I'm, you know, a fan of his and thought he really ran extremely well at the Bluegrass, I just wonder if he's the kind of horse in the Derby, especially at a short price, in a competitive race where nobody, you know, there's not a significant gap between maybe even the first 12, you know. So probably not a horse that I would want to bet at Kentucky Derby, but not a horse that I'm, I think he's as good, if not better, than just about anybody in the race. But I didn't like that he's, I don't, it's not just that race, it's other races, you know. He is a tricky horse, but a good horse nonetheless. I don't think that there's a lot of confidence that Verifying is really a mile and a quarter horse. I thought he ran very well in here. He bounced back. You know, he had been close to the quick pace and the Risen Star. I don't think it was the wet track as much more of the trip. And I think, unfortunately, you know, he sort of enhanced his confidence game, but it's hard to have any confidence in him given the fact that he hadn't been working and they don't really seem to know what they're doing with him, you know what I mean? So he's not exactly a horse that if he gets the Derby that I'm thrilled with betting on because of how he's trained after his last race. I mean, they're talking about running him into Lexington. Is that Lexington and maybe go to the Preakness instead of the Derby? I don't know. It's hard to inspire confidence in him either. But I do think the Bluegrass was a good race.
Agreed. I mean, and it sure seemed, you know, watching live, it seemed, wow, Luis Saez is moving early here.
For sure. It was similar to the ride he gave Secret Oath in the Oaks, but that's a lot how Louis rides. I mean, he does make a lot of early moves.
Yep.
Sometimes it'll blow up on him, and sometimes it won't.
No.
And this horse, I think he had no choice.
No, and the way he finished, I mean, that it was, having been there.
It was a good race. It was very good. I'm concerned with a horse like that, that's going to be a tough row to hoe, so to speak, in the Derby. But he's good. I liked his final Derby prep in a race more than I liked Forts or Fortes.
Yep. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, I know... I mean, it just feels like people have had kind of a mental, you know, fait accompli with Forte. They went into this season so convinced that he was invincible.
I tweeted before the Fountain of Youth that he was the right favorite for the Derby, and you know, many people told me, as always, that I'm clueless. So I don't know. But the problem that a lot of people have, especially at this time of the year, because it's a lot of people that aren't maybe following this intensely during the year, you know, as involved in the game as some others, is they marry themselves to a horse,
right,
and they defend their performances without any objectivity. And that's, you know, that's just obviously the opposite of what anybody should be doing when you're trying to handicap. And it's hard. I mean, we all struggle with objectivity to a certain extent from one time to another. And it's tricky in this game, especially the longer you're around the game, positively or negatively. But I think that it's impossible to look at Forte's last race objectively and say that you gain confidence in his chance to win a Derby. You know, the one side you can take is, well, he didn't look great going into the race, you know, going, you know, leading up to the, I guess he sort of got a little washy or whatever, and you know, he didn't have the most ideal of trips, though he didn't have anywhere near a bad trip that people are suggesting. But the post is problematic. That's very fair. And it sort of, we put him in a somewhat uncomfortable position. You know, he won, And, you know, he beat a good horse, Nate, in doing it. So there are, you know, it's not like it was a bad performance.
No.
But it wasn't as good as a lot of his performances. And for me, the thing that concerned me the most was that this is the first time I've seen this. This horse has been very professional from day one. You know, it's funny. I was looking up somebody's phone number that I thought I had in my phone. And doing so, I was looking through text because a lot of phone numbers got erased from my phone, but I won't even get into that. But and I came across a text with Todd Pletcher where after he broke his maiden, I said to him, he was really professional or something, and Todd agreed. And because I remember thinking, sort of comparing him to Wit on the TV show, who both had broke their maidens early for Todd. And Wit was obviously very unprofessional. And that continued to be an issue for him going forward, whereas this horse was extremely professional from day one. And this was the first time, you know, I ran into ride him the whole race, and it's like not exactly the best last prep. But listen, maybe he just wasn't himself that day, and he'll be back to his normal professional self in the Derby, in which case he'll be very much the one to beat. But he doesn't have some sort of speed figure edge over anybody.
No, no.
And, you know, I think his price, you know, it's funny. Like I was saying how I thought Wet Paint was a horror at 4-1 in the Oaks pool 3 weeks for the Derby. And I know that's true. Now, as it turned out, things have broken so well for her that she clearly is going to be less than 4-1. But how much less is she going to be? I mean, things have broken unbelievably for her, right? Nobody's run a good race. The only horse that did was the Baffert horse that can't run, who ran the same figure of 89.
Right.
So her odds are going to go down, but she's still not going to be. Is she really going to be less than 3-1? You know what I mean? So I don't, you know, that's, and Forte, where did he go off? Like 7-2 or 3-1? Maybe high 3-1 last Derby pool? Well, I think he's probably going to be higher. Now, he might be favored, but it's hard to see him under 3-1, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's fair. I mean, you know, I think he's a reasonably deserving favorite. He's a really good horse.
Andy, I lost you there for about 4 seconds.
Didn't miss much.
To switch over to Santa Anita, and you know, obviously this, you know, the Japanese storyline is going to dominate discussion here for the next 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, people are result oriented, recency oriented. We can talk about that. Listen, practical move. It's hard to knock him. He's run 2 consecutive 100 buyers, something nobody else has done. And he had a pretty good trip, but I thought, you know, he got left a little bit, and he sort of rushed into what was a quick first quarter, but after that it kind of slowed. But the Japanese horse was right in his heels the whole way. You know, I had originally thought he sucked up more into it than he had, but that wasn't the case. He was sort of chasing him, but, you know, reasonably good trips. But it wasn't a quick enough pace. It sort of fell apart. And, you know, the knock on practical moves that people were saying, he's a practical joke, he won't get a mile and a quarter. Okay. That's a reasonable discussion, but he's kind of, I mean, Raggle Joke was competitive at 1.8. He took tough beats in the Bluegrass and the Haskell. He was better shorter, and maybe this horse ultimately will be better shorter, but I don't think you can discount him. And I'm going to disagree with people that think he's going to be a short price in the Derby. I think he ended up being 8-12-1. And so he could be a horse that's playable. The Japanese horse probably isn't getting in, but maybe he is. I don't know. What number is he now?
He's, let me turn to my page, but don't bump. He is sitting at 24.
Yeah, it's close.
Yep.
There'll be at least 2 or 3 that aren't going at this point. You could easily point to. You know, he's a lesser Japanese. I mean, his performance obviously got people more excited about Soto.
Gaki.
What is his name again?
Derma Sotogake.
Derma Sotogake. Sorry, I was getting better at it yesterday. It's kind of like that old Mary Tyler Moore, where Murray bets Ted that he's not going to be able to pronounce the Japanese premier's name right.
Yes.
Great episode. Yes. So anyway, he's going to be the most overbet horse in the history of Kentucky Derby's. Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't really say it about that silly horse a few years ago, so he didn't run 4th, right?
Yep.
The horse by his name, Jack, something.
Yeah. My boy, Jack.
I had told a friend of mine who doesn't bet the horses, but he's a big better, when I saw about a week ago, he was 16-1 apparently on some site. And I said, you should find out if you can get that as somebody that pays and bet it, because he'll be a lot shorter than that. And I do understand this sort of recent furor about the Japanese horses, but I don't think there's, as usual, there's any legitimate perspective in it. The Dubai World Cup was an eyesore this year, let's be honest. Country Grammar didn't show up. We don't have any confidence that those horses are that fast. I mean, Country Grammar, with all due respect, is a high 90 buyer horse. He's achieved a lot, but he ran against Flight Line less by 20 lengths.
Yep.
Let's not confuse him with a fast horse. With Taba not showing up in the other race, I think both of these races, the Saudi Cup, the Dubai World Cup, especially considering the purse size, they were not good races. So there's over enthusiasm for the Japanese horses, who are good horses, and obviously they know what they're doing. But I don't think those were good races. And Dermot Sonogaki ran, it's sort of agreed upon, like 5 buyer points faster in the UAE Derby. Well, the UAE Derby has not proven to be a reliable road to the Kentucky Derby. And for a variety of reasons. And yeah, this horse probably did run a better race, but how confident are we? Do we really think if he ran the Dubai World Cup, he would have won by 3 lengths? Maybe, maybe not. Seems a little dubious. And mile 316th race are tricky races. I think a lot of people have trouble to sort of trust in them in general, you know? And the horses have badly underperformed. I'm not really like a Mendelsohn and a lot of others, Thunder Snow and different horses. But so the Derby is such a hard race to win. And to add in Japan to Dubai and then Dubai here and coming back in 6 weeks, which horses rarely do, you know, you're throwing in other real variables. And there is a possibility that Dermot Sonogaki is the best horse in this Derby. I wouldn't discount that possibility. But to overcome all of that and take 5-1 on him doing it, because make no mistake, it's hard to believe he'll be over 6-1 in a Derby. He's going to be very second or third choice in here. It doesn't seem like a good gamble to me. It also is possible he's the best horse in the race. I'm also not going to be shocked if he wins the race, but not the kind of gamble I want to make going into it, you know?
Yep.
And yeah, he has proven, I believe, to be a better horse than horse who was second in the Santa Anita Derby. But A beats B, B beats C. A doesn't always beat C, if only horse racing were that simple. So, but I think he adds a very interesting layer to the race. And I do think that the Japanese, who seem to be taking a more concerted effort to participate in big races around the world, they're going to win some of these at some point.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, they've had some very good horses that haven't won the Arc, right? I know if ever took a very tough beat. I know Deep Impact got into a weird situation. These were unusually good horses, and they lost the Arc, right?
Yeah.
Which is maybe the world's toughest race to win, along with races like the Melbourne Cup and the Derby. But nonetheless, they didn't win. So we'll see. But I think I don't believe it's pretty clear that this is not going into it one of the more talented crops of horses. Who cares? If you cash in the race,
that's right.
Are you going to go, I really only want 80% because the horses aren't that good? They're sort of 80% as good as the better fields. If you own the horse that wins the Derby, you go, yeah, but it was really a weak Derby, so I'm really not happy about it. You know? And I think at this point, it's about the Kentucky Oaks. And that's because there are a lot of horses that can win. And that's a good thing. I mean, it might as well be a fun handicapping challenge where you feel like you have potential to really get paid if you somehow manage to, you know, survive the minefield that is handicapping the race. So, yeah, well, most of us will be wrong about our Derby picks. Oh, something new. You know, right?
Exactly.
Every year, you know, it's the ultimate opportunity for, you know, people who take handicapping seriously to make a fool of themselves. But you don't really. This whole notion of, you know, like that idiocy of buyer sucks because there's big Derby winners. It's like, yeah, somebody should be measured on trying to handicap the most difficult race of the year every year. It's just foolishness, you know. So I think it's presenting itself as a fun discussion going up the race and a fun handicapping situation, and I look forward to it.
Andy, you referenced, in fact, we should include the, I want to get the couple of things in before we wrap up, the Philly side of things, and we had two prices, win the Ashland Friday and the Gazelle on Saturday.
Why can't we wrap up now? Who's waiting? Come on.
Nobody. I got plenty to do with you yet, so dig in the heels.
Nobody?
26-1 here. Promise Her America, Ray Handel.
I hope there really isn't anybody, because you may have just called somebody a nobody.
No, there is nobody. It's you, because I sense that we had a lot to talk about, and we do.
I'm not being objected to 50 minutes of you.
Wait a minute. You came on at 14, so it's only so it's only 43 minutes.
So that means, can I only do 10? I'm off next week then, because I'm away. I'm Saratoga, so good.
All right, there you go. But you're going to have to see me at lunch next week.
I don't have to yet. I have a busy schedule. I have a massage on Tuesday, so you could be out on that day. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. It's a tradition, our spring lunch.
It's not a tradition. I had lunch with you once in like 20 years. Anyway, I'm tradition. Jesus. All right. So anyway, the Phillies. Well, yeah, I'm happy for Ray.
Yes.
I like Ray. He had a big weekend. She ran well. Obviously, the buyer people felt the track slowed down because she ran only 0.24 seconds slower than the Wood, and the Wood got 11 buyer points higher. But I think she ran well in there. I don't know how good the field was, really. We'll see if Ray can ship. I said to him, now you've got to learn to ship and win, because, you know, we joke. I like the horse who was in Florida. He said to me, yeah, I never win in Florida. I said, well, maybe things get better. You have better horses, you know? So we'll see, but I'm very happy for him, whether or not she's... But listen, she got an 82 buyer, and the Ashland got an 83. I think what we saw in those two races were, nothing to lead us to believe that the race got tougher at the top end.
No.
But I don't want to dismiss anybody. I mean, I know a lot of people felt that... I keep wanting to call that horse Paintbrush. What the heck is the name of that horse?
Wet Paint.
Punch Bowl.
I thought you meant the stablemate. Yeah, Punch Bowl.
Maybe that's why I think of it. You know, that he should have been more aggressive. I'm not sure I agree with that. And that, you know, they conveniently blaming Pratt after the race. I don't agree. I thought she got a very good trip saving ground. Yeah, she had to sort of extract herself, but she had her chance. I mean, I think if you're going to use that, I would say Julia Shining ran a better race. She was wide the whole way. And I am going to develop a bit of a crush on Julia Shining, because she keeps getting sort of the wrong trips to a certain extent, and maybe in the Kentucky Oaks there's a little more pace, she can sit back and make a run. But if she does that, is she going to be able to close effectively as Wet Paint? I don't know. I guess Price will dictate that. I don't think Punch Bowl is without a chance. If the winner runs back to a race, she has a chance. I don't know where it came from, but I wouldn't dismiss her. I'm not going to dismiss anybody. I mean, is Norm Cassie's horse the second choice at this point?
That,
the horse that won the Fairgrounds Oaks?
With Ray Lou. Yeah, with Ray Lou's horse, you mean, yeah.
Well, Ray Lou, you probably add 3 or 4 points to it, so maybe she's not. Ray Lou getting a lot of attention these days. I'm going to have to be mean to him. I just think it just remains a wide open race. Though I do have one relatively connected thing to the winner. I got not one, but two emails yesterday from Ken McPeak Racing. Now, I have no idea how I got signed up for that. So I went on. The unsubscribe link is set up in a certain way, so you can't. It's not a link. Now, is that legal?
Well, Kenny is like a solar system. You get sucked in and you can't leave. You know where that came from is at some point you must have signed up for his horse races now thing, and then you're locked in for life.
A mistake that I regret. How about the unsubscribe thing? Look at anybody else have the email. It's like below a line, and it's not a link. All the other things in the box are links. But you go to that one, it's not linked. It doesn't allow you to go to it.
Kenny. That's sort of clever.
A little suspicious.
A little shady.
a little more than a little shady.
I love it. Well, then you let me.
Two of them.
That is funny. The two sprint races. Let's talk about the Carter. And of course, I had Safi Joseph yesterday and White Abario coming out of there. It does change it. But doppelganger.
It was definitely an eyesore of a race. Doppelganger is an impossible horse to make coming in. But fortunately for him, he didn't have to improve his buyer figure that much to win. Congratulations to the Connections and Brittany Russell won her first grade one.
Yep.
But I'm starting to, the car is probably going to lose its grading at this point. I don't know why people don't support it. I don't get it. I don't know, but nonetheless, today's flavor ran better than I expected. Sort of caved at the end after setting a fast pace, but the races fell apart at the end.
Yep. Well, that was the only, I'll tell you how annoying this was personally. I put Doppelganger on the bottom, Andy, because I thought he might pick up some pieces late. It never occurred to me. Yeah,
six horse field.
It started out as a seven horse field, and then it got down to six.
Steve, it could have started out with 30 nominations. It was a six horse field. No red boarding allowed. I liked the same horse you liked in there, Bold Journey, and I thought he was making a run top of the stretch, and the race set up well for him. He just had absolutely no finish whatsoever.
No. And Little Vic bled, so that kind of changed some things too, because he, fell away. I was happy for Heavy.
The preps were, the preps were not. I think one of the interesting things about the Bayshore, and you can extend it to the Lafayette, which was a similar race, an ungraded race they ran at Keeneland.
Yes.
Where the figures were moderately low. I think the Keeneland race got an 83 or 84. I'm not even sure they gave the Bayshore around an 80. I think it behooves Connections of horses that have big preps that probably are a bit distance challenged, that may not really be Derby horses, that it's time for them to consider the Woody Stevens as a grade one on Belmont Day that is extremely open at this point. Because when you see the races that are preps for getting low 80 buyers, it's time to ask yourself if you have a horse that's really not suited to these distances. I mean, maybe even Slip Mahoney's a horse like that, Maybe yeah. Al Gold would be well suited to thinking, listen, you've got 8 weeks, maybe he can find a prep race at seven or something and then head to the Wood Memorial if he runs well in that race. I'm just bridging him as an example. I'm not saying he necessarily is quite good enough, but he might be, Ran 87 buyers going one turn mile races, once biasated or not, but still.
Well, what about the Pathé Mile? Why not run the Pathé Mile?
Well, because the Pathé Mile is a war, and it's not a grade one, and it gets huge fields. My point also is Slim Mahoney really benefiting from going the Pathé Mile? He's a non-winners of one who has run poorly in two straight races trying to get to the Derby. And don't give me this, he ran second to Gotham.
No.
He sucked up for second in a very mediocre performance.
Got beat seven or eight lengths.
Trouble in the Wood, but he had no running thereafter. So is it, it's the same conversation about Dreamlike. And once again, they're not my horses, so I can be as objective as I want about them. Maybe some of these horses just benefit from a deep breath, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
They're not winners of ones for a reason.
Yeah.
No. And, there are a lot of very, very good trainers that have been very successful by being a little bit patient. And if is the best route to getting the Woody, the Pathé Mile? Of course, it's a stud deal winning the Woody. They're not getting it for way the Pathé Mile.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair.
Nor should they. We'll see. I don't know. I wonder at what point you say to yourself, let's stop rushing to get there. Maybe the answer is to rush even less and point towards the Alan Jerkins. But I think, to not understand the importance of these kind of races and to just continue to press forward. You know, this is a very good time right now to take a step back with a lot of horses.
Yeah, take a deep breath. You're right.
I might have a good horse, but maybe I can, if I give him a chance to be a good horse, he has his best chance to be a good horse. That's all.
No, well, that's well framed.
Especially horses that haven't won. You know, if you've won a stake already, or the Nowers won condition, becomes a little more problematic. But if you still have it, it's still available to you. That's all I'm saying.
And you make perfect sense.
Some sense.
Well, and speaking of 3-year-olds, there was one horse early in the day Saturday that I just want to slip in here before I ask you about the carryover Thursday. That horse of George Weaver's, Let It Ride, the Candy Ride.
Yeah, he's pretty quick, that horse.
Right? That horse was okay.
Yeah, he seems like a horse that's probably going to try to get himself to a race like the Woody or the Dwyer. But yes, I agree.
He's
a lot of potential. If you bet him in his first start at 690-1, you lost. You're still throwing up.
Exactly.
Another horse who lost to a Mott first time starter, by the way.
That was that Scotland?
Boy, Mott was a nice looking fast horse down in Florida. Unfortunately, Arthur's ride got hurt. He's been a sort of a star crossed horse.
Yeah,
I don't know how much he's on the shelf, but I know he's on the shelf.
Well, this one, for those that didn't see it, the horse's name, Let It Ride, which should be popular because of the movie. And, in fact, I'm surprised that name was even available.
It must have been reserved for a long time, and maybe these people got it finally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
because it's hard to believe, right, that name hadn't been used before.
Well, it's Randy Hill and the Reeves.
Right, but I mean, it's not. It's just, you know, you have to reserve names. So anyway.
Nice horse. 80-something, 80, mid-80s.
84, I think.
84, there you go. And, you know, Joey Freshwater. That was going a mile, and Joey Freshwater, the 7/8, for a winning move. This is, and actually,
what did he get?
He got an 80... what did he get? 80? Just an 8?
23.
Right? An 80, I think. Hold on. Here it is. 80. 80 on the nose. And, you know, that's a horse that's bred for the turf up and down.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll never have to run him there, but okay.
Finally, we got about 5 minutes. Could you give everybody a little preview? It's nice to have a $66,000 Thursday carryover.
You're kidding me, right? I haven't done enough. I have to actually go find my PPs for Thursday now.
You do, because everybody...
Is he Aguilino about something?
He'll be there in 5 minutes when you're done with me. He'll be there. I guarantee you. He'll still be there. How is
it?
What did you... I'm giving you next week off.
Four tracks that have synthetic surfaces right now. Pine, Golden Gate, Turfway, and Gulfstream.
Right.
Are there any others?
Well, Woodbine. Did you mention Woodbine?
I said Woodbine.
Well, you got cut. You cut out for a minute.
You have an excuse.
Well, your phone, it's like...
Steve, I've been sitting in the same place the whole time.
I'm telling you, your apartment is like Ghostbusters.
Stop bitching. Tell you what, it looks like a Ghostbuster came through here.
Don't cross the stream.
So, first race, people will be leaning on Colloquy. I think Midnight Worker is an interesting horse to price. Maybe my two. The next race is sort of a headache. I prefer Diva Banker, but it's a bit of a headache. But that's a bit of a tricky one. The next race is a tricky one on the turf. A lot of horses can win in here.
It's a good state bred allowance, long on the grass.
Gay was one of the horses to beat, but I think it's a wide open race. I haven't really made any major decisions yet. Got a tough maiden race the next, and you got two Chad Browns that can win. Equal Protection, Sacred Rhyme, but there's a lot of, you know, first-time turfers and sort of interesting other horses. Won an award stretching out after an okay sprint back in October. I would lean on my first love, Juliana's Rose, in the 7th.
That's a seven. That's a flat mile state bridge.
Yeah, the eighth is this sensational six-wheel and turf sprint that's wide open. There's a lot of horses that can win. I guess Anaconda has a chance. The entry certainly does. Their bad betting thing, both of them can win. Nothing better has to be used. I think Straight Answer is a little interesting turning back because he's a better sprinter in Europe. And Slipstream is certainly dangerous in there as well. So that's a really, really fun race, actually. That came up a super tough race.
How about Thin White Duke coming back for the seasonal debut?
For those of you like Steve who weren't listening, when I said the entry was dangerous, he would include Thin White Duke because he is part of the entry.
That's true.
Steve wasn't listening. He's making me stay on forever on his show, but he doesn't even listen to what I say.
Two
things in a row. You going to blame that one on my phone?
No, actually. That one...
Okay, that was strictly your fault.
I had...
I'm calling Tina.
I had...
Least you can do is listen if you're going to make me stay on the show for eternity.
I was listening, but I had my page. I don't have the printout. I only have my computer.
This is Steve Bickford as usual. I wasn't prepared, right?
I wasn't prepared. I'm traveling on the road like...
Oh, you're poor dear. You should take the week off then. Like most normal people do when they're on vacation, and not torture us like this.
Who's going
to take... Marty McGee, the guy gave up a career so he didn't have to do your show anymore. Triv, too. You're the reason that these people are leaving the game. Be very careful. You're probably already in the list of people that are bad for the game. Are you on the bad for the game list?
I probably am.
You're lucky you're on it. The bad for the game list. The Twitter bad for the game list. It's a great list.
Oh, my God. Dead here. You're the best.
Do you have some closing remarks, Jenna, written for your fans to listen to? Are you going to call Pamerly and let him on? Poor guy. Another guy who made the biggest mistake of his life when he became your friend. Never get any peace.
Oh, God. Oh.
List of people that Steve Vick has driven out of the game.
You need to close this show for everybody because I can't go on.
What happened to Papa Morales? I want to get his number. He's the guy who bails me out the last 15 minutes every week. What was his excuse? Is he quitting the game too?
Andy Serly, everybody, you can see him on Thursday. Unbelievable. Oh, nobody makes me laugh like he does. I'm treated, honest to God, and the most misunderstood guy in racing. That is him. I talk to him probably three times a day, and he'll go on a riff like that, and the tears. He makes me laugh. The greatest, Andy Serling, everybody. We got him going. See, when you break him through, that 28 minute barrier, and then he just gets on a roll. this was an emotion packed 3 hours, starting with Marty McGee and his exciting news. Not going to say anything else, right? Marty and Eric Hallstrom, great news from Eric. Travis Stone was fabulous today. Everybody was great, except me. I'm bad for the game. But talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder and stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder and stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.